evening, Patriots. Welcome to Bards FM Podcast. This is Scott Kesterson, and you're going to be listening tonight to an interview with Robert David Steele.
This war is real. Fighting is everything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Tempt not the righteous man to draw his sword. Conviction, righteousness, ruthlessness. To understand tolerance, you have to understand the line of intolerance. War is the teacher, soldiers are the students. They become the bards of war.
Good evening, everybody. Sorry for the late start tonight. Had to finish up a quick finish on the edit, but I wanted to get this out so everybody could hear it. Robert David Steele is a former Marine Corps infantry officer and a CIA spy who has gone on to pioneer open source intelligence and then open source everything. Today, he manages 10 websites and is producing five movies and is the sponsor of the new national tour, Arise USA, the Resurrection Tour, that will stop at 84 different locations, hitting every single state and Puerto Rico from 15 May to 6 September. 120 stars, most volunteers, are in the process of being confirmed. Steele and his UR Unrig, is what it's called, partner, Dr. Cynthia McKinney, will be present at every single stop. And they encourage you to join the tour and donate $100 today for a funding Citizens of the Second Revolution certificate at the BigBatUSA.org website, BigBatUSA.org. Robert's personal website is RobertDavidSteele.com. Now, I first contacted Robert back in 2016, 2015, that range, when I came across a blog that he wrote, and in reaching out to him, there was some commonality in thought, and we discovered that we had worked for some of the similar people, and we had enough common in our background. It was a very interesting conversation. As events happen and years go by, we haven't talked until just today when he called me. And I'll tell you, in the interviews I've done, this is one of the most enjoyable interviews I've done in a long time. We just had a great time. You'll see it. Now, I just have to give you a parent and adult warning on this. There is some coarse language Robert uses in here. So if you're worried about that for the kids, I just put that out there. I don't want anybody complaining. There's a few things said, a couple F-bombs, so just so I say it, that's about it. But in fairness to the audience, I just want you to know. But otherwise, it's a great interview, and that's about it. So a couple times, and I think you can handle it. And if the kids are there, like quickly cover their ears or maybe have them listen to it later, okay? So we don't want that problem in the house. Anyway, it's a great interview, and I think you're going to get a lot of insight on a lot of issues in this interview. We cover a lot of topics, including an ending discussion about county by county. So really, without further ado, let me introduce you to a Bard-style interview with Robert David Steele.
So, Scott, I'm so honored by your invitation, and we've agreed that we can both record this and use it as we wish. God bless you, sir. How can I be of service?
Robert, you and I first talked back in 2016 when you had surfaced in a great way in the campaign in support of President Trump. And I had just left Fort Meade's work and other work up there. And I remember seeing I think you had put a blog post up and I'd reached out to you. We made a telephone call and we had a chance to talk. It's been a long time. Anyway, it's a real honor. You've done some amazing work. I'd kind of just like to start with just a little bit of the scope of the sorts of things you've been involved in, because you've been involved in the child sex trafficking issue. You've been involved in an awareness issue program. If you could just kind of give an overview, that'd be great.
Scott, God has a sense of humor, because there is no way I should be doing 10 websites, 5 movies, and a national tour that will cost $1.5 to $2.5 million. This is not normal. I left the CIA to create the Marine Corps Intelligence Activity, our nation's newest national intelligence analysis agency at the time. And I left the agency. I left the CIA. I left the CIA in 1988, and I left the Marine Corps in 1993 because the CIA ordered the Marine Corps to shut me up. They did not want me talking about open source intelligence. And so I told my general to fuck off. And so I had some very hard years, $27,000 a year, which did not make my wife happy. But I started the open source intelligence revolution. And over time, I found myself morphing from intelligence reform to governance reform to electoral reform. And then 9/11 was a wake-up call for me. In 2008, the year you're talking about, I was starting to think about election reform in a very deep way. I published the book Election Reform, Election 2008, Lipstick on the Pig. You can see Miss Piggy behind me. She's going to be joining me on the tour. And I'm going to follow your suggestion. We're going to take a picture of Miss Piggy everywhere we go. Because Miss Piggy is everywhere. The deep state is everywhere. The shadow state is everywhere. Blackmail and bribery and brainwashing is everywhere. So fast forward, I got into hashtag Unrig and OSINT. Those were my two main projects. Then I saw Comet Peets and Jeffrey Epstein, and I called Epstein out as a fake billionaire in 2008 also. There's no way this guy was a billionaire. He was a sheep-dipped asshole. Who turns out to be a pedophile. And it turns out he was funded by Les Wexner, one of 12 Zionists who are, in my view, should be indicted for treason to the United States of America. But I'll leave that to the courts. So I found Joaquim Hagopian, a West Pointer, and I basically started funding him with money that was being donated to Earth Intelligence Network. I've spent over $12,000 on the website, pedoempire.org. The five books have been bestsellers. They jumped to like top 500 in the world out of 6 million books within days of publishing. The website is free. All of the chapters are free online in full text. They can be translated into foreign languages. So now I had open source intelligence, I had election reform, and I had satanic pedophilia. And then out of the blue, some lawyers came in and hired me to create the website on Wall Street treason and crime. And so I created stopnakedshortselling.org, which also connected me to Patrick Byrne, who is connected to Sidney Powell. And I'm connected to Sidney Powell through my review of her book, License to Lie. And Sidney and I know each other. I know Mike Flynn. I know Juan Osavin. I know Patrick Byrne. I know two or three other people I can't mention. But that has basically put me on the outer ring of the Trump circle. And when Trump came along, I wrote the first article on how he could win in August 2015 in Counterpunch, which has never published me since. And then I started writing the Trump Revolution series, which is over 55 publications now, including one that I love about the deplorables rising. Donald Trump allowed my voice to be heard. Before, I was completely sidelined by the CIA. They very successfully repressed me and others. But Donald Trump basically kicked down the door for the truthers. And as a result, I ended up working these things. And then when the election was stolen, I was so outraged. I started to think about what could I do? And I realized, I mean, I'm a retard. I'm from the print world, okay? I don't do videos as a natural thing. I like books that I can read and hold. But I decided I could make some movies about election fraud and Wall Street treason and crime and satanic empire. So just on a whim, I put up a post saying, who wants to be a co-producer of these three movies for $1,000? You'll be listed in the screen credits. I raised $300,000 in 3 weeks on one post.
Wow.
Okay. I had no idea I could do that. Those movies are paid for. Cynthia McKinney is going to release hashtag Unrig election movie in April. Peter Antico is going to release the Wall Street treason and crime movie in May. Sean Stone, the son of Oliver Stone, who made two great Wall Street movies, is also the overseer producer for the Wall Street movie. He's going to release Satanic Empire in May. By the time our tour hits the road, those three movies are going to be free to the public everywhere. And the tour, I'm not sure how it started. Cynthia McKinney and I were talking. I decided it was time to try again. And so I did a post and raised another $300,000 in 3 weeks. And so now we're on our way to $1.2 million, $2.5 million for the tour. I need money now because I have to do a whole bunch of down payments on the coaches and the wraps. Each bus, a wrap costs $9,500. I've paid that bill, $47,500. I've given the coach company the first $62,500, which I'm on the hook for every 2 weeks from now until the end of the tour. And then it's gas money, hotels, tour managers, musician salaries, and stuff like that. So bottom line is I need to raise $12,000 a day, every day for the next 90 days. And this interview with you could be a huge boost to the campaign when it matters most. It's always the first 30 days where it's touch and go on money. But I have no doubt as to our success. We're going to be in Dallas with at the same time as Sidney Powell and Mike Flynn. I'm waiting to hear if we're going to appear on stage together. If not, Cynthia McKinney and I and others will appear in Dallas in the same weekend. And we're going to be at Mount Rushmore on the 4th of July. We're going to have 84 stops across the country, including at the end of the tour, we'll fly to Hawaii and Alaska and Puerto Rico. And I am given to expect that when we are at Mount Rushmore on the 4th of July, Donald Trump will be there also.
That would be fantastic. It's incredible. Now, I'm going to be speaking with Sasha soon. We just were setting up that interview, and he's part of that tour as well, correct?
Sasha Stone is managing 120 people. And really, I'm more at this point. Sasha Stone is the impresario that's basically putting all of this together as a gift to the American people and to myself. And he has got all kinds of people organized, including some that we're not going to name initially. We're going to hold back some surprises. Next week is a big week for us because next week is the week in which we agree on the laydown of who appears at each of the 84 stops. And each stop has a permanent party, which will always include Cynthia McKinney and myself, and often Lee Dundas and often Sheriff Mack, but we'll also have Sheriff Mack fixed up with special technology so he can come in and beam in interactively if he has to be somewhere else. And then there will be fly-in stars, and then there will be local stars, and then there will be our house band, local musicians, and fly-in musicians. This is, I mean, we're doing something that would normally take a year to 2 years to plan and organize. And it's really a sign of the times that someone like Sasha Stone and I can come together with Sheriff Mack and My Patriots Network and Lee Dundas and some other real badasses. And we're literally putting this together on the fly, and it is going to be an outrageous success. In fact, I personally process all donations, and I'm processing all checks. And I've got this cardboard box of stuff that's coming in. I'm putting up at the website Americana examples, you know. And I almost feel, as I'm curating this stuff that's coming in, I went to the Smithsonian to see the display of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial and all the stuff that veterans and their families have been leaving. I was in Vietnam from 63 to 67 as a child, as the son of the number three oil guy in Vietnam. But what's happening here with all this stuff that I'm touching is the equivalent of the Vietnam Memorial for the resurrection of America.
That's great. No, it looks like an amazing tour. I've seen your route, and it's going to really hit all the critical points within the state. So it's very, very impressive.
Sasha Stone is the impresario. At this point, what Sasha wants, I agree to. I am the sole financial and legal authority for this tour. Everybody else is basically volunteering. I'm not saying they work for me. They're volunteering to be part of this tour because what I am providing the American public with is a lightning rod to take down the two-party tyranny and put the people back into government and to return local authority to its proper place. In fact, someone sent me a lovely cartoon of the old bus saying localization is the opposite of globalization. This is about counties, constitutional counties, faith, family, and freedom, election reform, individual and state sovereignty, and the truth. You cannot run a proper democracy without the truth. And that is what we have lost, as well as the integrity of our political system these past 50 years.
Every morning, Roberts, in the last 45, 46 days, I have been doing Monday through Friday, the Federalist Papers, and I'm doing all of them.
Oh, good for you.
And it's a real challenge, but it's a great and eye-opening experience for the viewers and listeners to go through what our founding fathers intended in the Constitution. What I find most amazing, and probably one of the biggest challenges we have,
is the premise that they had that people would always be engaged in their government. It's pervasive in all the writings. I just got to get your thoughts on that, because that's one of the big challenges we have right now, and we see it so much, this blind following of obedience towards tyranny rather than standing up and being bold as our colonists and our founding fathers were.
Scott, that's the single best question I've ever gotten. I love that question. That's hugely important. I'll give you two groups on this. First off, a lot of people don't know that I'm the top nonfiction reviewer in the English language, as best I know. I've reviewed over 2,000 nonfiction books across 98 categories. And in fact, I fired Amazon. I took all my reviews off Amazon when they started censoring books and reviewers and reviews. And Phi Beta Iota.net, which is like Phi Beta Kappa, but Iota for intelligence, Phi Beta Iota.net was created to hold my book reviews. That was the beginning of my web presence. And I paid my middle son, who was, I think, like 12 or 13 at the time, $1 for each review that he ported over from Amazon to my website. So he was a very rich man for a couple of months. I mean, $2,000 is a lot for a 12-year-old.
You bet.
But he was better at it than I was, okay? So I want to answer your question in two parts. First off, ever since World War II, the British Empire, which is our enemy, China, Iran, and Russia are not our enemy. They are peers who are seeking to have a world that is prosperous and at peace. The enemies of the United States of America are the deep state, which is basically the Vatican, the Queen of England, the City of London, the Rothschilds, the Aga Khan, who's very, very good at covering his tracks, and then the Zionist Red Mafia, which is a Russian criminally rooted organization, never to be confused with Judaism. In fact, a shout out for Rabbi Michael Lerner, a shout out for Rabbi Shapiro. The Jews are now starting to ask, is Zionism a stake in the heart of Judaism? And they're absolutely right. Okay, Judaism should never be burdened by a criminal state that is genociding the people from whose land they have stolen. So I've lost my train of thought. Oh, the Constitution. So ever since World War II, the Tavistock Institute, there's a great book by Daniel Estulin on the Tavistock Institute, the CIA with mind control and drugs. Woodstock was a CIA operation. All these false flag events are deep state operations with a gun control agenda. 9/11 woke me up. In a way. 9/11 was my wake-up call on the degree to which we'd lost control of everything. So the removal of civics, as well as music and art and physical training from the schools, has been part of a deep state agenda. The dumbing down of the population has been part of a deep state agenda. The drugging up of the population, including alcohol, has been a deep state agenda. Essentially, we have become a nanny state, and we have tried to push people into being dependent on the government rather than being, you know, live free or die kind of stuff. So all of this is part of a massive psyop. And I have to tell people, even though I was a spy for the CIA with three very successful back-to-back tours, five times the regional recruiting average, in retrospect, I realized most of what CIA does is either shit or toxic. And we still need CIA. And you can ask me about that if you want. But the bottom line here is the people have to get not only engaged, they have to be educated. I mean, right now we have too many snowflakes and carpetbaggers running around. And these snowflakes are pushing transgenderism. They don't even understand that it's a crime against humanity to tell a child at the age of 7 that they should consider their transgender options, or that they should be rolling around on the floor with a drag queen who turns out to be a pedophile, okay? So California is the poster child for shit. California is the poster child for where America is going if we don't put a stop to it. And then the heartland, where all the real people are, that's what America should be. An agrarian democracy where everybody knows everybody else, truth, transparency, trust, okay? So the Constitution has been perverted over the years. And I actually have a cool post that I did which talks about Constitution and a constitutional convention, which we're not ready for because the public hasn't been educated to the point that they're ready for a constitutional convention. But if I were President Trump, I would start running an annual mock constitutional convention as an educational exercise and then work up toward a real constitutional convention in 2024. There are a number of amendments that need to be strengthened. For example, the First and Second and Fourth Amendments, we should be putting people to death for violating those. There is no tolerance on freedom of speech, gun rights, and illicit search and seizure. Now, there are other amendments that were not passed properly, were not ratified properly, including the 16th and the 17th Amendments. Senators were intended by the Founding Fathers to represent the 50 sovereign states. They were not intended to be elected by the mob. And that is part of undermining the Constitution. Okay, they've been trying to make the Constitution something that can be undermined by the public, which is then manipulated, and so forth. And there are some amendments that need to be modified. So, I mean, certainly we should end corporate funding of political campaigns, because that is not what the founders intended. So I think you're right, Scott. The founders did intend, in fact, Thomas Jefferson, my favorite quote is he said, if the people mean to be in power, they need to arm themselves with the power that information gives. And George Madison and James George Mason and James Madison were of the same mind. Now, there is a dark side to the founding fathers. Too many of them were Freemasons. And there is a very strong suggestion that the War of Independence was not actually won. It was manipulated by the Freemasons on both sides in order to create the US as a covert colony of the British Empire. And Canada was created to keep Russia and the United States from having a land bridge and making common cause against England and Europe. Okay. There's also some very interesting work that's been done recently, which documents that the so-called Tea Party thing in Boston was a false flag. Samuel Adams was a smuggler, and he was angry because the British taxes were too low. He wasn't making enough money smuggling because the taxes weren't high enough to give him the leverage that he wanted, all right? So if President Trump were to give me an open source agency, I would have an information bureau and an engineering bureau. The information bureau would have a history division, and we would be doing deep, deep research on every aspect of history, including the Holocaust myth. Jews died, but we also murdered 11 million Germans after D-Day. Okay. And a lot of the bodies that you see stacked up were German soldiers that were stacked up by a British American covert action group that intended to stage the Holocaust. Okay. We've gotten the numbers at Auschwitz, which had no ovens. We've gotten the numbers down from 6 million to 1.5 million. The Red Cross numbers are closer to 247. And the Zionists in Switzerland refused to ransom the Jews. Hitler, a rabbi, arranged with Hitler to release all Jews from Germany alive and with their wealth for $3 million. And the rabbis in Switzerland refused to pay that bill. They say we need for Jews to die in order to justify the takeover of Palestine. Okay. So the history here is quite astonishing. And I really want to emphasize that I support not only Judaism and Islam on one condition, that the Jews reject Noahide laws and that the Muslims reject Sharia law. The separation of church and state has to be absolute. And that's one of the strongest points of the Constitution. I hope I haven't wandered too far from your question.
It's excellent work here, Robert, because these are part of the awakening. And I was even talking about this morning, and I'll just give you an example, and we'll continue on with some more discussions. But there's a certain truth we've currently had to face, and actually I'd like to get your comment on this. November 3rd was a very interesting process, because while the election was stolen, the depth of intricacies of that treason, it could not have happened overnight. It was known within our agencies how deep it was. So there is a measure of psyop that had to be played on the American public to get them to vote. This is my personal opinion. You had to tell them that the vote was secure. They had to be fighting for that, knowing that you're going to overrun the system and force them into the open. And I think that there's a piece of this that it's going to be another one of these difficult truths. And it's a difficult place, I believe, that whether knowingly or part of the process, President Trump had to get everybody to vote, knowing that it's likely and very probable that he was going to see the election stolen, but he couldn't release it. That's my personal opinion.
I think you're right. And President Trump is, in my view, an absolute genius. In fact, Martin Geddes, I wrote the foreword to this book. This is the single best book for anybody that wants to be red-pilled, and it's about evil. And this book is free online.
And that's Open Your Mind?
Open Your Mind, Change. by Martin Geddes, who's the top authority on Q and QAnons. But at phibetaota.net, there's a widget that leads to this, which is free online. I wrote the foreword. I was honored to write the foreword. It basically, not only is President Trump a genius, and for those who doubt that, let me point out that when Jack Welch left President Trump's office, he's quoted in Team of Vipers as saying, whatever they say about that guy, talking to him was like talking to a peer. Now, this is Neutron Jack, the single greatest businessman in modern history. Okay. Donald Trump is not the failure or the rascal that people are portraying. That's a media con job. Donald Trump is probably the single greatest president in our history, equal to Andrew Jackson and Abraham Lincoln and others, and John F. Kennedy. And part of our publicity, by the way, has John F. Kennedy and Donald Trump on Mount Rushmore. And then it has the Native American leaders in the skies above Mount Rushmore. Mount Rushmore right now is a white guy's monument. There are a lot of red founding fathers and black founding fathers and brown founding fathers. I mean, we stole everything from the Guadalupe Hidalgo line down to the Mexican border in a war based on lies. And my Latino brothers, and Latinos come in all colors, okay? I'm a white Latino of a Colombian mother. You've got white Latinos, brown Latinos, red Latinos, yellow Latinos, and this is the dog coming to tell me it's time for her to take me for her walk. You know, this is really powerful, powerful stuff. Trump, when he did the election order, I was critical because he wasn't actually pressing for reform. I didn't realize just how smart he was. And Bill Binney and Kirk Wybie and others from NSA and I have talked regularly. We've got it all. We have every phone call, every text message, every game chat, every banking transaction going back 15 years on all traders, all elite pedophiles, and all Wall Street white collar criminals. We've got it all, okay? And I finally got Bill to say that on Michelle Holliday. And that's when people started getting really nervous. And then when we said we have every green and gray line call, those are the encrypted phones, which you will remember, the green lines, the gray lines. We have all of those calls in the clear because NSA is the rabbi for encrypted communications by other agencies. So at that point, MI6 shit bricks. And a Dr. Catherine Horton was sent to disarm Bill Binney and basically separate him from his children and move him to North Carolina. And she's now under investigation by NSA, and we'll see how that sorts itself out. But the bottom line is we have it all. Now, what happened, I think, is that Admiral Rogers at NSA, when he went up to brief President Trump, then candidate Trump, he basically weaponized NSA against the deep state in the same way that the CIA and the FBI have been weaponized by the deep state against America, all right? Now, as best I can tell, and I think this is absolutely true, the legal ballots were all watermarked. And it's possible to do a very thin watermark. In fact, on the back of my phone, I have something from Body Align. This is a three-dimensional thing that can be embedded in paper, not just stuck on a phone. And it's my understanding, and if you saw the pictures from the Capitol false flag thing, you had all the phones on the Capitol thing. We have a map of every legal ballot, and we have a map of every cell phone associated with all of the illegal ballots. Okay? And Patrick Byrne and Sidney Powell have just come out in the last few days. I'm expecting multiple big booms in the next 10 days. I think that Sidney Powell is going to take the Dominion CEO's dick and balls in her hand and cut them off.
I would hope so, and I don't have any doubt. I mean, the thing that you and I both know, and it's hard for people to appreciate, is how good we are at mapping networks.
Yes, and you have a Fort Meade background, brother. We've been there. We've done it. In fact, true story, I want to tell you this story because one of the things I need to fix is how NSA sucks at providing signal support to clandestine operations or counterintelligence domestically, unless, of course, it's a focused, directed presidential effort. I was a spy in a foreign country that was really, really cool for terrorism and drugs and trafficking and children, and I wasn't getting anything from NSA, so I went to the local OSO guy, and I said, here's a bottle of scotch. I'm the new guy in town responsible for terrorism. I was one of the first two guys assigned terrorism full-time as a target by the CIA in 1985, I think it was. So he said, all right, bottle of scotch, let's see what I can do. Next day, I had 15 hits from NSA that were gold. So I go back to second. I said, man, that was great. He said, yeah, he said, well, sorry, I have higher priorities. And I just did that as an experiment. I said, a bottle of scotch a day? He said, no, I've been told I can't do it. I've got to do Nicaraguan, Contra, and Russian, Chinese shit, okay? And I was the guy as the second ranking civilian for Marine Corps intelligence who pioneered gap-driven intelligence. I said, why the fuck are we collecting the Soviets and the Chinese every single fucking day while ignoring Somalia, Haiti, Burundi, and all this other shit, okay? Because we don't do third world global coverage at any level. And so that's my true story. I think if Mike Flynn were to come back as Director of Central Intelligence, a restored Director of Central Intelligence, which is what I'd love to see him do, we should abolish the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, which is a bunch of political pissants. I would like to see NSA start doing daily counterintelligence support. I mean, as soon as a traitor or an elite pedophile or a white collar criminal pops up, we should just take their ass off the street. We shouldn't allow them to run. And similarly, clandestine operations overseas are a joke. You can't do clandestine operations from an official facility, particularly in this day of cell phone and cars and tracking devices and so forth. So we need to get into the non-official cover stuff. We need to get into signals intelligence support on a daily basis. We need to get serious about an open source agency. In fact, it was with vast amusement. I've been fighting for an open source agency. I've gotten it approved by the Aspen Brown Commission, by the 9/11 Commission, by the Office of Management and Budget, $2 billion at the final operating capability. Everybody's been pissing on me and marginalizing me, okay? In the last 2 weeks, Carmen Medina, who knows me personally, came out with an article in Foreign Policy saying we need an open source agency. She didn't have the integrity to mention me by name. And the Center for Strategic Studies Institute came out and said, we need an open source agency. They didn't have the integrity to mention me by name. These people are syphilitic whores. They are camp followers of the worst sort. And I guarantee if I get an open source agency, they will be on a fucking poverty line someplace because they're not going to touch open sources.
Well, you know, it's amazing. And you've been talking about this. This is a commonality you had and I have. I didn't even realize all the work I did was open source based. And this was the statement. And you appreciate this so much is once you're in open source, there's no restrictions.
Right.
How many times have I sat in a briefing? It would be say in Afghanistan and they'd be saying like, this is what we see this person doing. And you're like, no, I just had lunch with his brother. Well, you're not authorized to do that. It's like, I am authorized. I just had, yeah. I was just having goat and rice. There's no restrictions on it.
Look, the system is broken, Scott. And in fact, one of the reasons I broke with CIA on the question of open source was because the CIA policy at the time was that if we take an interest in open source, it's classified. And I said, bullshit. And then I got under Second Avenue Instruction 5000, I got permission from my general to run an international conference on open sources. And I went to CIA. This was in 1991. I knocked on the door for 4 years from 1998 to 1992, trying to create an internal open source working group within the IC, and nobody wanted to play. And so I got my general to give me permission to run a conference. I literally bet my house. I signed a $25,000 contract with the McLean Hilton that I had no money for. I would have had to sell the house if it had failed. And I went to CIA. I said, we want you to come. They said, yeah, we'll come, but it has to be secret U.S. citizens only. And I said to my CIA counterparts, what part of open source do you not understand, motherfucker? Okay. I mean, these people are in la la land. And today, the open source thing at CIA is a complete failure. Fat old white bitches with white black boy servants. They're not allowed to do anything other than passive open source monitoring because the clandestine service came into the open source. People said, well, we own human. So you can't talk to professors. You can't talk to subject matter experts. You know, come on. So the reason the open source agency matters is because not only would it be the president's own and provide him with decision support that could be shared with the public, the media, the Congress, and foreign allies, but we would keep the originals. The CIA, the IC would get near real-time copies of all the open source, but it's a copy. They don't get to fucking control the open source. We own the open source and we can use it for cabinet decision level support and so forth. And the gold standard for spying should be the open source agency has to certify that it cannot answer the question before you spend a spy or a satellite on that question.
Well, I think that's great. You'll appreciate this because I've been working a separate initiative from you, which is the county by county initiative, what we're calling it.
Yes, very important. I would like to hear about that because my audience needs to know about your initiative.
So the county by county initiative, Robert, is really built on about seven pillars, and I'll go through those. But one of the pillars that it leads to ultimately, which is out as it develops, is an open source initiative. And it's basically in the long term, as we develop what I call informed action, which is the first pillar, is the idea that as citizens gain more knowledge, and this begins with just understanding who's in your political terrain, who's in the group that's ruling your communities, who's the elected and non-elected officials, this is your first pillar. As that gets organized and you organize for citizens' action to take back the political domain or terrain of your county, that ultimately leads to an open source citizens group like a citizens militia, but based on open source intelligence, that they're constantly monitoring and looking for the sorts of things that challenge the threat or threaten the local economy. Go ahead.
Quick interruption before you give me all seven. In 1992, at the first OSINT conference, Alessandro Politti from Italy coined the concept of citizen intelligence Minuteman. We're on the same page, Scott.
Absolutely, Robert. This is fantastic because I spent a lot of time working with our local sheriff. I've studied Sheriff Mack. He's a brilliant man, and he understands very much the importance of the issue of the constitutional sheriff that goes back to the Magna Carta and the Shari. So when you start dealing with local sheriffs, they'll also tell you that they don't have the resources to go outside of investigative teams that are looking at crimes already committed. What we're talking about is emerging threats. So that over-the-horizon emerging threat concept, which is inherent in the open source concept, once you get citizens involved in using that digital army to organize, you now have a resource pool. And in fact, what's great about this county, if I talked to my sheriff and he basically just gave me the head nod, he said, proceed, just let me know when it's set up and then we'll work with you as it needs be. So the sheriffs are very receptive to it. So I think that ties in very well with your whole open source initiative.
Well, let me also say that where CIA and I diverge, I was interviewed to be the top DOD human guy, the defense intelligence senior leader for clandestine human and DOD. And I may even have been selected, but Burgess, the DIA director at the time, who had cheated me out of a $250,000 contract at Southcom, because he didn't have the balls to fight Tony Lake and Army when they protested. I did a monograph for the Army War College on Humint, and I outlined 15 slices of Humint, okay? Everything from interrogator translator teams and subject matter experts, defense attachés, mill group advisors, you know, so forth. And then you've got four slices of clandestine or covert Humint, which is offensive counterintelligence, defensive counterintelligence, two different things, two different kinds of people needed, clandestine operations, and then covert action, which includes paramilitary, media influence, and agents of influence, okay? Only four of the 15 human slices are classified, and those four should get 50% of the budget. The others should get the rest. Now, a Nobel Prize was awarded to Eleanor Ostrom for governing the commons. And what she basically said was only people on the ground can actually understand what's happening on the ground. You can't do it from a satellite. You can't do it from secondhand sources and so forth. And then Nicholas Nassim Taleb has written Anti-Fragile. He talks about the only people that can survive and prosper in a crisis or in chaos are the local people who know each other, who have trust as a currency. All right. At the end of the day, it's not about money. It's about trust. And trust lowers the cost to do business and make things possible. So I had actually conceptualized a National Guard based state intelligence corps. And the reason I did that was because the National Guard can hold law enforcement commissions at the same time from the governor that they hold foreign intelligence commissions through the military. So what we need is people who can be trusted with both police information and national security secrets combined with your open source militia concept. I do believe that there is a vibrant future for domestic intelligence. I'll make one final comment. When Mike Flynn and I were talking about this many months ago, I wrote an article trying to save his job called On Defense Intelligence, Seven Strikes. I delivered it by hand to Chuck Hagel's house, but to no effect. But shoot, I just lost my train of thought.
We were following on the lines of citizens' information.
Oh, yes. God bless you for bringing me back. We were talking about burning 70% of the IC to the ground and consolidating the remaining 30% in each of the agencies under a restored director of central intelligence. Well, I've changed my mind on that. I had a very, very important interview, video dialogue with Bill Golden, who's the top intelligence careers recruiter in the private sector. And Bill said to me, common sense, he said, Robert, 70% of the IC is worthless, but it's only because it's got worthless leadership. The people are good people trapped in a bad system. You should redirect them. So my new concept for the resurrection of the intelligence community is one third that's still working works. One third is redirected toward third world global coverage targets that are not now properly covered by NSA or anybody else. I mean, we suck at languages. I mean, there are 30 languages we don't seriously speak, okay? Including Catalan and Gaelic, and including every dialect of Arabic other than Lebanese. CIA is queer for Lebanese Arabic, okay? It doesn't do the other Arabics. And CIA is also a hypocrite, okay? When George Tenet told Congress he had doubled the number of Chinese-speaking analysts, he didn't tell them he had moved it from 4 to 8, okay? CIA is simply not serious about Chinese language analysis. And then you've got the last third needs to be directed to do domestic decision support, particularly trade comparative, trade intelligence, comparative intelligence, agricultural intelligence. Ellen Seidman, who was on the National Economic Council, spoke to one of my open source lunches, and he said it's a real hard thing for the White House because CIA does not do trade intelligence. They don't do agricultural intelligence. And the departments of the cabinet agencies don't know how to do intelligence. The process of requirements definition, collection management, acquisition of multimedia intelligence or multi-source intelligence, and then processing and then decision support. And frankly, the IC stinks at what I learned as the second ranking civilian in Marine Corps intelligence. You have to be able to deliver the answer on a note card with three colors to a general who has the attention span of a gerbil that needs to pee. Okay. That's your customer base.
Well, I'm laughing because I will, the training I went through with PowerPoints, and you'll appreciate this, literally was, okay, we're going to take your 10 slides down to 3, or we're going to take your 100 slides down to 2, because that's all the attention span you're going to have, which is true.
And what you do is you back it up. Basically, you have to build trust with the client so that at the end of the day, they end up accepting a one-word answer from you, yes or no. But, you know, it's a note card. I mean, I used to write 10-page memos for General Jenkins, I think it was, go in one ear and out the other. We eyes glassed over, wouldn't even read it. And one day, and probably other people invented it at the same time, but I invented for myself what I call the stoplight chart, which is a chart in the middle of the page with red, yellow, and green dots. Now I had the general's attention. Steele, how the fuck do I get rid of these red dots? I said, well, sir, on page 6, it says this red dot can be gotten rid of by doing this. So gerbils who have to pee plus the stoplight chart is Washington decision making.
It is indeed. I had the honor to work with General Scott Miller, and I don't know if you've come across him, but
the last general I loved was Dick Lake, who was a running buddy, and Vince Stewart, who was a great general, the first black general in Marine Corps intelligence, Jamaican extraction. I mean, we've had some really good people in Marine Corps intelligence, but we've also had some real bums that drool and can't make decisions. So tell me about your number 3 and go on from there. I really want to get all 7 of your pillars.
Okay, so number 1 is informed action, which we've kind of covered pretty extensively. Number 2 is home churches, to restate and get the faith back in the home through the foundations of that, and also to break the yoke of the corporate church model that has been pervasive throughout. And that ultimate goal is resetting kind of the foundations of the visions of faith and values in our nation. Number three is what I call Patriot Gardens, which is a revision of the Victory Gardens. So it's the concept of both home gardens and community gardens of taking accountability for the food that we eat and grow. And it's getting people back in the process then. It's literally a gateway initiative of bringing accountability back to what we consume and being accountable in our lives. So number four is homeschooling to break away from the public control and state control of schooling. And that also is built on community and on building co-ops. So not everybody can afford to home. Go ahead. Yes.
No, let me say, I love that. I just had a great discussion with Penny Kelly about it. Homeschooling also demands that we get back to a one-income family, ideally a multi-generational household with pocket neighborhoods. And that is central for me. I really love that. So what's number five?
Number five is what I call right work, which is the whole process of getting back to controlling what we do in our jobs, not working for the corporate entity or the state or the city. And it's, and I frame that in a faith perspective of using God's gifts and talents to guide us. There has to be some transition area there. This is I put this in more of the longer part of this process, which is where you're transitioning away from the jobs that you're on, but you're reclaiming your independence and your sovereignty in doing so. So some of that is going to require some trade school training or local training. Yes, please.
Three quick comments, Scott, because I'm so totally on board with this. And I hope you'll start sending me stuff that I can publicize.
Absolutely.
Because you are right on. Three quick comments. Number one, Charles Hugh Smith did a good piece on how this meltdown of the economy, while horrible, has in fact melted down the cubicle rat fraudulent economy. And so now we've got a whole bunch of people that are ready to start their lives over again. They just need right work.
Yes.
Number two, Del Spurlock, Deputy Secretary of Labor under Ronald Reagan, has been my acquaintance for many years. And he had a plan for retraining the entire public with salaries into 21st century jobs or right work. I think President Trump is able to bring Del Spurlock in and execute that plan. So we can retrain everybody, paid salaries while they retrain into farming, into local manufacturing, open source everything engineering, which is why I was recommended for the Nobel Peace Prize, which is a discredited prize, but it was nice to be noticed, and so forth. And third and last, Peter Drucker wrote some excellent work. He said, work needs to be a calling. And Juan O. Savin and I have talked about this, the calling. Okay. He did a great movie called The Calling.
Yes, he did.
Work needs to be fulfilling. It should not be shit work. And most local work, including restoring butchers and candlestick makers and so forth, that's fulfilling work because you're part of a community of labor. So go on, please. I love that. What's number six?
Number six is what we call health and healing, which is now to get back to the holistic health, reclaiming that power of and breaking from the dependency on the pharmaceutical industry and the hospital system and getting back to everything from midwives to the old, more traditional ways of eating well, fitness well, and the herbal basis of so many things. Now, these tie in. I'm going to have one more, and then I'm going to give you this, and we'll kind of give you the seven strategic. These are the what I would call the tactical or home level operations here. The seventh one is energy. And energy is both spiritual and physical energy, meaning healthiness and spiritual energy in your home, but also the physical of things that we do to start breaking from the dependency on the main power grid. So that can be solar, that can be just reducing the sorts of things we use, going to wood heat or wood generation heat, that sort of things, and technologies that are there that have not been released yet.
Scott, you're a genius. I mean, have you written a book with those seven pillars? Because I would buy it.
I'm working on it now, actually. The
I
book.
Would buy it. Well, let me tell you, I published about 12 real books, and then I published a whole shitload of Amazon books, which I love Amazon. Amazon does offer authors like you and me a really wonderful way to reach people with Kindle and create space. There's only two books. There's only two rules in book writing. And in fact, rule two is now, I've dumped it. Rule one is every chapter has to start on an odd page. Okay. So that means you get a facing chapter page. Okay. Rule two used to be write with 1.8 inch margins all the way around. That produces a 6x9 book. But now I'm producing my books in color, 8.5x11. And Amazon will publish anything over 30 pages in a print book. And so Kindle takes a document, CreateSpace takes a PDF. As soon as your book is written and proofed and everything, Amazon can have it up within 24 hours. And I got to say, that's a gift to humanity.
No, that is a gift. I totally agree. So let me just give you how these seven tie into seven strategic pieces in the calendar.
Wow.
So this is where I think you'll appreciate all of these because they tie into the little bit bigger infrastructure. So the first one of those is economic infrastructure. So that means everything from establishing the county. If we start looking at counties more as a sovereign entity to create some sovereignty and stability, so it's not dependent as much on the federal. So the economic infrastructure covers everything from distribution hubs to creating abilities for port of entry and import export. Not that it has to be, it's not that it's going to be taxed, but that ability and facilities basically to manage itself without the dependency on the federal or Yes.
Just a very quick interjection. One of the things that we're devising for this tour as part of the Constitutional Counties Initiative is the concept of county coin and county web. So the counties should be able to produce both physical artifacts and digital cyber coin that appreciates in value when it's spent inside the county and is neutral on adjacent counties and depreciates in value as it moves outside of the county. We're also advocating an end to all federal and state income taxes. And all taxes are transactional taxes collected at the county level, which then keeps the economic power over the state and the federal government, which is forbidden to print or borrow money. Okay. And the county web is a mesh web. It's based on every device being its own server and Bluetooth technology that is non-harmful. And it basically blows away the Amazon and Microsoft and other clouds. And so you literally have a survivable county in financial, physical, and cyber terms.
What's really interesting is the county that I live in is a logging-based county. Roseburg Lumber and its Roseburg Forest Products now, in its origin, used to print its own script, which could be then used locally and was used with its merchants and its merchant network. So it's a very viable concept you're talking about, especially in the digital age.
No, I hope we can move through the other six because I have to go in a couple of minutes, but I'm thrilled and fascinated by this. Why don't you run down the strategic objectives so that my audience has a sense of this, and then I'll point them to your website.
Sounds great. So the other one is holistic medicine, which is a holistic medicine centers. And that initiative would be something like what Dr. Tenpenny has already been pushing for. Agriculture, which is to reset agriculture on a larger scale. And then we have innovation, which are innovation centers, which include apprenticeship and mentorships. Education and education outreach, where you're now creating centers of learning to teach the new teachers, support the homeschooling, and to create the new types of things you need, everything from arts to content and material for support. The next one is media and entertainment, so that the counties themselves have a control over the type of media and entertainment that they're doing through everything from print, video production, to film production. And the last one is Ecclesia and Ambassadors, which is literally resetting the nature of the church and its relationship to the community so that it's taking on that role that it was supposed to take, which is to take care of the community as an outreach, not as just an intake to pay for its bills.
You know, it's not even paying for its bill. It's just looting the public, and it's paying for gold and paintings and jewels and this other stuff. Scott, I'm blown away. This is really, I apologize for not really understanding everything that you were doing. I'm thrilled to have this opportunity to get caught up. I will support you any way that I can. I think you really should do a short book as soon as possible. In fact, if I may dare to say so, you should do a short book before the president reaches Mount Rushmore on the 4th of July.
I'll take that challenge. Absolutely. So I'll get it done. So that's good. I'll get it over to you as soon as it's done. That'll be great.
I support you completely. Absolutely.
Robert, it's been a pleasure talking to you. I want to make sure that you send me your links so I can get those up, and especially your tour links. I want to make sure we push that and support that as much as possible.
It's epic. And McKinney and I have decided we're going to do it every year. We're not going to repeat any stops. We're crowdsourcing the actual locations right now. We're looking for high schools. We want to make this tour a local community Friday night lights kind of tour, although it'll actually happen in the afternoon. So high schools, where, I mean, most small towns live and die on their football team and their basketball team. That's the environment that we want to be in, not major arenas and things like that. And frankly, I spent all of last week worrying about porta potties. I don't want to have to go to a place where I need to provide porta potties for 5,000 people. And we are expecting between 500 to 1,000 people minimum. And in some places, we're looking at 5,000 to 15,000. St. Louis looks like a 15,000 person event.
When do you see this wrapping up? On what date?
We wrap up on the 6th of September, Labor Day, in which we hope that America will have arisen and declared its freedom from the two-party tyranny in the deep state.
So I want to thank you for this time. It's been an absolute honor and pleasure, and it really has been. So thank you.
Well, I got to tell you, Scott, very few people surprise me. And you know, at this point in my life, it's hard for me to find a lot of original stuff, but you are an original, and I'm deeply impressed by what you've put together. Please do the book fast.
I will indeed. So I appreciate that. Do you mind if we close with a prayer?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us together in an amazing meeting of just two great minds and somebody you know that I deeply respect over this time. I ask you continue to look over Robert, his family, and the great ventures he has ahead of him. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Amen from here.
Thank you very much. It was a great honor, and I look forward to staying in touch and supporting your tour as much as we can.
Scott, I feel blessed to be born in the USA and to be doing this tour. I'm God's instrument. There is no way in the world that Robert Steele could have pulled this off if there were not greater cosmic and earthly forces converging. So I'm basically a pimple on the ass of the divine donkey. All right, out here.
Out here. Have a great day. Bye-bye now.
So, Patriots, that is Robert David Steele. And he is, he'll keep you going. Very enjoyable interview. And I relate very well to him. He's as a former CIA case officer, you can kind of get the sense of the personality. There was a lot of things thrown in there for you to follow. A lot of content in that and pretty high speed and as far as pretty fast paced. A couple things, as I noticed, just watching the boards, IC is intelligence community, just so you're not confused. And there's a lot of other discussions when you're talking about like covert branch and things like that. Covert branch is part of the agency's dark cover operations that goes everything from deep cover to has a straight military wing to it. So that helps at all when you review this. Robert David Steele is a I have a lot of respect for him, and he's done a lot of great work. He continues to do a lot of great work, especially with the sake for our kids. He has that knowledge. He has really pushed hard on the pedophile projects to expose these people and to hold them accountable. And somebody who puts that much effort into that is blessed. I can just say that. The tour they're going to be doing is exciting. We'll keep absolutely in keep you all informed. I will keep you informed. We'll keep it in our news feed as well as they move forward with that. I'm checking again the website. It's BigBatUSA.org. BigBatUSA.org, and they are it is crowdsourced. So as much as you can, I know you give immensely, and Patriots do. But if as much as you can support that, please do. I think that's an incredible tour. I've looked at the map. They're going to every state, and they're going to be on the road for about 5 months, 4 months, something like that. So it's pretty incredible. I did talk to him about attending the Bards Fest, which is there will be a bit of an overlap. What he said is that they can't physically be there, but they will digitally transmit so they can come there and be at least on a Megatron or something. So we'll work that out. And we still have a lot of details on the Bards Fest to sort out, especially since South Dakota has decided to become a little bit insane. I'm going to be going into that and do a full show as to this whole transgender economy that they have been creating by exploiting and destroying children. It's awful, but we need to become aware of how deep and pervasive this is. But anyway, Robert David Steele, he is he's a significant name in the Patriot movement. He's taken a lot of heat, like so many, and it was just a great conversation to have.
Obviously, he's given me a challenge that I've accepted, and I will get on with this, to create that book on the seven pillars for the counties. And you can look to that sooner than later. I've actually been working on it quite a bit lately, just so you know. So other than that, it's an interview to give you an insight into also a different type of caliber. Robert David Steele has been running at very high levels in his career. He's at that strategic level. To find somebody that punches this hard and stands that hard on truth is not common. You get a lot of, I don't even know how to nicely to say this. You get a lot of people at the strategic level that are much more interested in ladder jumping than in standing on truth and pushing hard. And from the very beginning, when I first came across Robert David Steele, the thing that caught me was that he was one of those types as a case officer that stood for truth, which is not common, especially in the CIA, but he did, and he was punching hard, and he would stand up to people that wouldn't stand up. So that's a last point I just want to make to you, is there's a general perception that everybody in the CIA is bad. There's this kind of ridiculous thing that floats around the Patriot movement. Once a clown, always a clown. They're never going to be part of this. That's not true. The number of people that are bad is small by the number of people that are good. There's a tremendous number of great patriots in this nation that are in all these agencies. Robert pointed that out when he talked about reducing the IC, which is the intelligence community, down by 70%. He was reminded that there's a lot of great people that lack good leadership. So keep that in mind and don't jump to too broad a conclusion on many of these agencies. Leaders can lead a great agency into the toilet. But it, just like with the FBI, there's great FBI people out there. There's actually great IRS agents out there, believe it or not. That's hard to swallow, but there actually are. Every agency has good people, and the CIA is no exception. There are some great people in the agency. So that it should give you some heart, too, because it's not like you're all alone out here. At times it feels like it because the media is so ugly and seditious. And I think if there's any organization that from top to bottom is fairly corrupted, it would be the media. When you get into other agencies like the CIA or the FBI, DIA, ICE, DHS, I could go on a list of them. There's just the alphabet agencies are just unbelievable how many there are. You will find NRO, whatever. You're going to find great people in all of these agencies that truly love America. They believe in freedom, and they do outnumber the cabal. So take heart in that, and it's a wonderful thing. So with that, I think we probably all should pray after that interview. So let's do that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time that we've come together and for a very enlightening and powerful interview by Robert David Steele. We pray for his continued success and the continued success of their tour, and we also can pray for the continued awakening of the many that are listening and continue to open their eyes to the depths of this evil and the need to stand up for our nation. Lord, we pray for the continued guidance as well to reinforce and claim back our counties in your name and under the foundation of our Constitution as we stand up and take initiatives to be bold, to put wheels to our faith, and to bring our faith into the light and into the place to expose all of the evil around us. Evil has, unfortunately, Lord, as you know, creeped into all aspects of our life, and it's up to us to expose it, to bring it to light, so it never can again lurk in the darkness. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. So, Patriots, I hope you have a very blessed evening. I'll be back at 9 p.m. Pacific and midnight Eastern for Fishers of Men. Until then, keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil, never relent, always press in. I hope that part of this interview tonight will kind of give you that dirt trench type fighting spirit from somebody from Robert David Steele's perspective who has been at the strategic level still fighting like he's in the trenches. He's a true American. We all need to have that sort of grit when you stand up and fight something like this in this dark evil. Never, ever bow to these people. It is
It is not even a question. We stand, we fight, and we win, period. God is always with us. He will always guide us. He will never forsake us. And above all, God will always win. We have to give our faith to him, and in the end, we will be there with him when he does. So have a blessed night. I'll see you later this evening or until the next time. God bless, and out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty. Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made, therefore they can be solved by man, and man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again. Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who move forward, and so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept. The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Has waited thousands of years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. We push, we climb, we never give in, we become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray, we stand, we live by the words, in God we trust, we fear nothing, we are the light. It can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.